Hi, this is Rachel McElroy.
Hi, this is Griffin McElroy.
And this is Wonderful.
Thanks for listening to Wonderful, the show where we talk about things we like, that's good, that we're into. And right now, I'm going to say, for the past decade, I've been very into Rachel McElroy.
That's right. Actually, one might say even more than that, because we did not get married immediately.
We didn't get married immediately. I suggested it. You balked at the idea.
Yeah, you were like, Lifetime has this show. It's going to be a big hit.
Yes. It's called Married at First Sight. This is not usually how the matchmaking process works, where you meet someone in public and then you just marry them right then and there. But it is our 10-year wedding anniversary, December 7th, a day that shall live in infamy. But I feel like, I don't know, being married 10 years to you, I feel like we have overtaken Pearl Harbor Day in terms of sort of importance.
Wow, all right.
To the landscape of the nation.
I would like to think that if you look at December 7th on Wikipedia, our wedding is listed.
Above Pearl Harbor
Day. Above, yeah. Even though chronologically, it would probably not be listed first.
No, it is. But it's like in order of importance. You know what I mean?
Griffin, I think our listeners are probably wondering, you've been married 10 years. What is your advice for a successful marriage? And what would you say to them?
Marry the perfect person for you to get married to. I'll say this. If you can swing that, it's pretty fucking easy, man.
True. I will say, and this is advice I like to give everybody, compliments.
Oh, yeah.
Continue to compliment constantly.
And not just one thing.
Yeah.
It's got to be across.
I do have
to
remind Griffin that he has to move across multiple areas of myself and my body.
Yes, yes. I've gotten so much better at that, like talking
about. I know how soft my hair is.
Your hair is so soft and it smells so good every day. Do you have any small wonders?
I'm going to say, and this relates to our 10-year wedding anniversary, I'm going to say the destination, which is adults only.
Yes.
We went to a resort in celebration of our 10-year anniversary, and children were not allowed there.
Yeah.
Which we picked specifically because we knew this would be the first time we had ever left our children for more than one night as a couple.
For literally 7 years.
For 7 years. And so we didn't want to see a child to remind us of our own regular life.
Yes.
Outside of the resort.
Yeah, it was huge. Big ups to Peeps and Cece for coming through in the clutch, watching the boys so we could get away for a couple nights. It was very, we were stressed about it until we got there, and then it was totally chill.
It was, yeah. It was like once we knew that our children would, in fact, go to bed without us present, it was like, okay, the rest of this is going to be fine.
Yeah. I'm going to say there's a company called Teenage Engineering that makes a bunch of sort of boutique synths and sequencers and little digi music devices. They make the Pocket Operator series, which I have a few of, those little sort of calculator ones. They've just come out with the EP133, the KO2, which is sitting on my desk right there. It's that giant sort of tablet-sized.
Looks like a computer.
It looks like an office calculator.
Probably more like a calculator, yeah.
But it's so fun. Their track record is kind of hit or miss. They make a lot of stuff that's like way too expensive, like $2,000 portable like synth keyboard workstations. And some of them aren't great. This one's like $300 and it's super powerful and super, super fun to mess around with and play around with. I think this is going to become sort of my off-court buddy. That I travel around with.
And how great that you're supporting engineers that are teens.
Yes, these 13 to 19 year old teenagers.
It's incredible.
No, I'm pretty sure grown-ups did make these, but I just like this company. They make a lot of stuff. They have sort of a bad reputation in the space for people who are like, you know, you can get a more authentic experience for cheaper, but I feel like this is the best thing they've ever made, and it's at a price point that it makes a lot of sense. So that's the KO2, and it's super, super duper fun. I go first this week.
Okay.
My topic this week is, you will probably be surprised to hear, is Bop It. We did get on the topic of Bop It the other night for a kind of a gross reason. Do you want to talk about it?
Not particularly. I don't even remember how it came up. I remember what conversation transpired.
The conversation became ranking the verbs featured on a Bop It in order of which it would be sort of least disastrous to a human penis. And for those wondering, the order we settled on was best to worst, pull it, flick it, bop it, twist it, and then spin it, we sort of disregarded because we couldn't figure out the physics of how one would spin.
You are saying we. I think it is important to note that this
I spearheaded a lot of this conversation.
Was pretty one-sided. It became kind of a monologue, I would say, on your part.
Yeah, a sort of penis monologue.
You provided me with a ranking and then repeated the ranking just to make sure that I learned what I was supposed
to. You were busting up, though. You're trying to make it sound like this was just some lunacy sort of rant that I went on.
I like how in your mind, like, if I am laughing, then this is a worthwhile conversation.
Absolutely. I don't want to make light of the important place that Bop It has in my history, though, because, man, I used to play Bop It all the time in its many iterations. Did you?
I never owned a Bop It. I don't know that I've actually played Bop It. I have seen it for sale in stores. I know what it looks like. I remember the commercials. I don't think I've ever had my hands on one.
I considered buying a Bop It for this segment, but did not have time to procure one before.
Henry would probably like it. Maybe we Henry should put that on the old holiday list.
That's a great idea. So Bop It was a sort of toy game that came out first in 1996 from Hasbro. It was designed by a toy engineer named Dan Klitzner, who made a few hits, but nothing quite on the scale of Bop It. And the original version of Bop It was a sort of stick-shaped device about the size of your forearm with three interactive elements on it. There was a yellow knob for twisting, a blue handle on one end of the stick for pulling, and then right at the center of the Bop It was a big button that you could bop. It was for bopping. It was the Bop It and Bop It. And the way that it would work is that the game would sort of bark orders at you in time to music, to either pull it, twist it, or bop it, and the music would ever increase in tempo. And so you would have to do the commands faster and faster and faster. There was a multiplayer mode where it would add a fourth command, which was pass it. So after doing a few of the other commands, it would say pass it, and then you'd have a few seconds to pass it to the other player. And the first one to mess up one of the inputs loses. That is literally it. Once it starts sort of trucking, once the tempo is going real fast and you are having to be very, very precise in your movements, it becomes kind of panicky to discern the difference between a pull it and a bop it, for example.
Yeah, it's kind of like the head, shoulders, knees, and toes principle.
Yes.
Where at first it's like, well, of course I'm always going to remember where my head is. Yeah. And then the faster you go, the more it's like, wait, now I'm just confused.
Do you have trouble with head, shoulders, knees, and toes?
I personally don't. But if you watch a bunch of children perform it, the faster it gets, the more they're like, now I can't do anything right.
Yeah, I would say the difference here is that song is commands in a provided unchanging order, whereas Bop It, sometimes Bop It will give you twist it like six times in a row and you'll be like,
yeah,
certainly it's not going to give me another twist it, and then it hits you with another twist. You start to get in your own fucking head about it. For those who found Bop It's three commands too pedestrian, 2 years later Hasbro would release the Bop It Extreme, which was sort of a steering wheel shaped device that added two more inputs, a little green noodle for flicking, and then a little red wheel for spinning. I never owned a Bop It Extreme. My friend Clint did. I had some trouble playing it because I built up so much muscle memory around the original Bop It that any time a flick it or spin it would come up, my central nervous system would just like misfire, and I would just freeze up. Bop It filled a really interesting sort of space in the toy / game arena, which was pretty like busy in the 90s and the early aughts.
Yeah, right.
You had a lot of sort of experimental, oftentimes pretty crummy stuff coming out from Tiger Electronics and Hasbro, and that tried to sort of blend the world of computer gaming and toys. Some were great. Like there was a little game called Lights Out that was just a little grid of like 5x5 buttons that lit up, and as you pressed one, it activated or deactivated the adjacent ones. And so, you know, it'd give you like puzzles that you had to try and solve and turn off all the lights. That one was great. There were many others that were not as good. But for me, like Bop It is the most successful of those experiments. And the reason I think that is because it was so easy to just start playing it.
Yeah.
Like sometimes I have a lot of memories of having friends over or being over at a friend's house like Clint's house with the Bop-It Extreme, where we'd just be goofing around and someone would just pick up the Bop-It and then we'd be playing Bop-It for like a half hour.
Yeah. And you know what? Because I was thinking in my head, like, oh, this kind of reminds me of Simon. But then I was like, Simon really requires memorization, where yes. this one, it's random. So everybody's got kind of the same shot.
That's exactly it. Bop-It is what I would consider to be a zero friction game, in that you can pick it up and be playing it within seconds. And even if you've never played Bop-It before, I mean, you know the rules in an instant.
They tell you what to do.
They tell you what to do. Mm-hmm. It's on the thing. It's written on the thing what you do. And so you pick up the rules instantly. And I cannot think of like another game that I would consider to have such a low barrier of entry than Bop-It. Now, I will say that Hasbro has gone like absolutely batshit wild with power, and they've released like a dozen variations on Bop-It at this point. There's Bop-It Bounce, which apparently I've never even seen before. I had to like research all of these. I'm kind of a Bop-It purist. Bop-It Bounce had a ball and a trampoline. And so the trampoline would like tell you instructions on like how to bounce the ball on the trampoline.
Whoa.
There was Bop-It Smash, where you had to time inputs in sync with like this little line of lights, kind of like that arcade game where the light goes around
yeah.
in a circle and you have to press the button right when it hits like your target light. There was Bop-It Tetris, which had sort of two cylinders with different kind of grids of lights. And one would appear that would be kind of like the tetromino that you had to drop into the other side. So you'd have to twist it to make it line up.
Whoa.
And then sort of compress it while the Tetris music played. That one actually looks pretty fun. I would get into Bop-It Tetris. There was like a Bop-It Yo-Yo. There were like motion activated Bop-Its where you could kind of customize like what commands it would say to you, like brush it. And then you'd have to like mime brushing your teeth with it. Some of them look fun, but for my money, nothing beats the original Bop-It mm-hmm. or perhaps Bop-It Extreme. A game that in my childhood I just accidentally picked up and played more times than I can count. I would go years without playing Bop-It and then would be like cleaning my room and be like, oh shit, Bop-It. Well, I may as well play Bop-It for a little while. I think that's really special, and I can't think of too many other things, you know, before or after that have come. And
well, and there's so few games that you don't need several people to play, you know?
Yes.
Like, I remember that as a kid. You know, I was an only child, so it was usually just me and my dad playing a board game. And a lot of times games aren't really designed even for two. Usually you need like at least more than two.
Yeah.
And so it's nice that this was out there for all of us lonely souls.
Yeah, Hasbro and Tiger Electronics, I would say like most of the stuff they made kind of fit this category of like, hey, lonely guy. Hey, lonely little guy, pick this up. You'll
yeah.
have some fun. That's Bop-It. We should get a Bop-It.
We should. Yeah, I know. You sold me on it.
Okay. We'll get a Bop-It.
I'll give you $500.
Okay. That's a lot of money for a Bop-It. You understand that, right?
I know, but I'm so excited about it now.
Okay. $500 could buy a lot of Bop-It. Like, we could each have several of our own discrete Bop-Its.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Can I steal you away?
Yes.
Thanks. We all got needs. And to satisfy those needs, we subscribe to different services to fulfill those needs. Some of them are pretty dang good at it, if I do say so myself. But then you put away your childish things. You say, I don't have a need for a string cheese subscription service.
This huge box of string cheese every month and immediately throwing it away.
Yeah.
Maybe I should not receive this huge box of string cheese every month.
But you forget, don't you? So easily.
I know.
Your many subscriptions you've scattered, like Johnny Appleseed to his apple seeds. Well, Rocket Money is here to help. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. I've used Rocket Money before, and it found, not a joke, maybe six things that I had completely forgotten
yeah.
about. Like, maybe about $50 a month worth of shit that I just completely did not know, nor did I interface with the things that I was subscribing to.
Yeah, it's like that. We got that one app that promised to show us hockey and then almost entirely stopped showing us hockey.
Yep.
And
Rocket Money was like, you're not watching the hockey anymore. The Blues lost and not in the playoffs. Anyway, Rocket Money is fantastic, and we recommend using it if you think you might have some of those phantom subs. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wonderful. That's rocketmoney.com/wonderful. One last time, rocketmoney.com/wonderful. Folks, I'm recording this ad by myself because Rachel, she did something totally wild. She hopped on her electric e-bike and she was like, I am out of here. And then she zoomed off. She hit a ramp and flew up in the sky like an E.T. movie and just went so fast that I was like, dang, where'd my wife even go? And she yelled from over the horizon on a bike adventure. And so I have to celebrate that. I have to cheer for her on that. This bike that Rachel got from Electric E-Bike, it is one, very sleek and stylish. It looks fast because it is. The battery lasts forever. It shows up at your door, ships for free. It's got a quick toolless assembly, and you can even fold it up for easy travel and storage. It is the perfect time of year to have a sweet little bike for yourself to go on your own bike adventures away from your husband. Anyway, go full throttle into spring with Electric E-Bikes, the number one selling e-bikes in the nation. Get your adventure started at electricebikes.com, and please mention that Wonderful sent you in the post-checkout survey. That's electricebikes.com.
Hello, sleepyheads. Sleeping with Celebrities is your podcast pillow pal. We talk to remarkable people about unremarkable topics, all to help you slow down your brain and drift off to sleep. For instance, we have the remarkable Neil Gaiman.
I'd always had a vague interest in live culture, food preparation.
Sleeping with Celebrities, hosted by me, John Moe, on MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Night-night.
Somewhere in an alternate universe where Hollywood is smarter.
And the Emmy nominees for Outstanding Comedy Series are Jet Pacula, Airport Marriott, Threpple, Dear America, We've Seen You Naked, and Allah in the Family.
In our stupid universe, you can't see any of these shows, but you can listen to them on Dead Pilot Society, the podcast that brings you hilarious comedy pilots that the networks and streamers bought but never made. Journey to the alternate television universe of Dead Pilot Society on MaximumFun.org.
Griffin, you want to hear about my thing?
Desperately.
My thing is just all over the place this time of year, and it is the free gift with purchase.
Oh, I love a free gift with purchase. A fugwoop.
as the insiders call it.
Yep.
This is something that I have noticed as we are kind of checking off our gift list.
Yes.
One thing I like to do when it comes to your siblings and their spouses is to find a gift that would work for all of them.
Yes.
Like a nice gift.
A nice practical gift.
Not like a toaster, but like a thing that would be useful to all of them. And I did this recently and it came with a little gift-o.
Okay.
And I thought, like, this is a great thing about this time of year.
Yeah.
Where it's like, hey, are you going to buy five? Maybe you'll get one for you.
We got some stuff at the Lego store this past weekend.
Yeah.
And it came with free Lego Christmas ornaments.
Yeah.
Which you built all of by yourself.
I did. Sorry about that. You do all the big sets all the time.
I do 10% of the big sets, and then our children all enter their field of vision, and they'll be like, stop that. Play with me with just the little minifigs.
Yeah, which, by the way, Lego, and you probably know this already, but like most of the time, the boys just want the little mini guys.
Yeah.
They don't actually really want the set.
No.
So we're paying a lot more for the set when really we just want the little guys.
The little
Why don't they just sell the little guys?
I mean, they do. But like, not the licensed little
like
guys.
I want like all the little guys.
Yeah. Anyway.
But they probably don't do that because it would be...
They would not get money.
They would not get as much money. Anyway. The big thing I noticed with this free gift with purchase thing this time of year is that it is largely in the cosmetic space.
Oh, interesting.
So a lot of it is a, like, spend $50 and you get this little makeup bag with all of our little trial size makeup things in it.
Okay, cool.
Clinique is a big one with this. Clinique is kind of was my go-to company when I was a teen. Because they had a lot of like earth tone colors and they promised like it wouldn't make you break out, which as a teen was my number one concern. And they constantly have this going on of like buy a full size thing and get seven tiny ones. And it still works for me.
Yeah.
I'm still like, well, I was going to buy the full size thing anyway. So now I get seven tiny ones. And apparently this is something that has been going on for a very, very long time. So it started though not with like trial sizes, but like with weird like things like lithographs.
I don't know what that is. Is it drugs?
It's like a poster, but it's got kind of like a, well, now I have to look it up because I don't want to tell you the wrong thing.
Yeah.
And everybody with Google at their fingertips is like, you didn't know what a lithograph was?
Is it like a lie detector test?
It is a method of printing originally based on the immiscibility of oil and water. The printing is from a stone or metal plate with a smooth surface. So it gives you kind of like a shiny.
Okay.
A shiny quality.
Like a shiny poster.
Now I want to show it to you. See, this has really gone off on a tangent here.
Yeah, sure.
No, here's what I'm thinking of. This is probably actually what it looked like.
Oh, gorgeous.
You know?
Gorgeous poster.
Mm-hmm. So that was the thing back in the day, 1851. B.T. Babbitt launched his Best Soap, which was actually the name of the product.
The other soaps I've made up to this point. Hi, everyone. It's me, B.T. Babbitt. I'll admit.
You knew good soap and adequate soap.
You Guess thought, what? How is B.T. going to take it one level up again? Well, I'm here with my Best Soap.
So Best Soap, if you purchased it, you received a full color, high quality lithograph poster of various seeds, landscapes, romantic tableaus, patriotic and religious imagery.
Hell yeah.
So of course you want
to. I got this picture of Jesus with my soap. It's awesome.
Now I'm clean and devout.
Yeah.
So of course, you'd want to collect all of them too, which was the appeal.
Would. Yeah.
Like depression glass is something you've probably heard of too. This
nope.
idea. Okay. You're making me Google all these things that
depression
I thought
depression glass?
I would just be able to say. It's very collectible now. Like that. You've probably seen it in antique stores.
Yeah, sure.
And not really
okay.
knowing what you were
so
looking
I
at.
So I thought that this was sad glass that you got or made. While you were quite sad.
It was distributed free or at low cost. So if you bought, for example, Quaker Oats, you could get a depression cup. Glass.
Okay, cool.
And now everybody like tries to buy the whole set because it was so rare that anybody got the whole thing.
And yet when I get into Pokemon cards, people are like, grow up. But you're over there buying sad glass. I don't understand it.
Sad glass. This happened everywhere. And then, of course, also the prize in the cereal box is another kind of example, although I don't think that's totally the same thing. And then there were like companies like Pons, which have you heard of their like cold cream, this idea you're removing makeup with this moisturizing cream?
No, but it sounds nice.
Man, I feel like I'm just throwing up a lot of
air balls. Is this like what it's
like
when I talk about like Japanese role-playing yeah. games to you?
Yeah, okay. Or when I talk about poetry, I guess.
Yeah.
They gave away like a free tube of their vanishing cream. And what they said was, quote, at our expense for over a decade.
Wow, holy
shit.
So
they were very clear on like, no, it's not like we priced up the cost of this. So that we could say we were giving away.
Yeah.
This is actually, we are really suffering.
They're saying, please don't buy our stuff. We are, please, you're breaking the bank.
So I read this article from Racked that came out in 2017 that was called, quote, Why Makeup Companies Still Give Gifts with Purchase. Because a lot of this stopped partially because of the whole coupon crazy phenomenon of like you would either create fake coupons or you would give a bunch of different fake addresses, email addresses, set up post office boxes just so you could claim way too many of these.
Yeah.
But as I mentioned, cosmetic companies still do this. And I thought it was interesting. There was an interview in RACT with this professor of marketing at Columbia College in Chicago who said premiums are attractive because they change the value equation without changing the price of the product.
Sure.
Kind of suggesting that this is like a luxury item. This is like an indulgence. And so, but you're saving money or you're getting something free with it. So you don't have to feel like, you know, you're making a poor financial decision.
I'm a huge sucker for this in a major. I feel like clothes companies, like independent clothes companies, do this a lot. And sometimes I will be shopping for lots of, let's say, for example, shorts, lots of pairs of shorts at, say, for example, Chubby's. And then Chubby's is like, hey, if you buy one more pair of shorts on top of these, I'm going to give you a travel mug and a hat.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, yeah, man, fuck yeah.
And you forget that you never needed five pairs of shorts.
No, I really know? Only need the two.
Yeah. But then you're like, well, if I do a little bit more.
But
this happens to me a lot with Clinique. They will like put the price point at above like one product, basically.
Yeah.
Like it'll be like spend $50 and everything on their site is like $30 or less. So you inevitably buy more than you were planning to.
Yeah. We're basically just outing ourselves as the world's biggest suckers.
I know. But I don't think we're alone.
No.
And what is this show if not about building community?
Yeah, if we're going to get caught up in a grift, at least this grift gets us travel mugs and Chubby hats.
So largely I'm doing this online. Stores will still sometimes do things in person. Like a lot of department stores, you'll go from counter to counter and they'll be offering things like this. Apparently, when Estee Lauder bought MAC in 1998, they had a promotion on Lipstick Day where they offered a free lipstick to in-store customers and the lines like wrapped around the block.
Sure.
Just to get like a free item, which again is something as we've gotten older that we've learned a lot about of like how much is your time worth?
Right.
And how you're not actually saving money by investing hours in doing something like this. But it's just that like free thing. And I've talked before on the show about how I love to hear something is discounted, really like activates like a pleasure center in my brain.
Right.
This is very similar.
Yeah.
And to the point where it's like, I am not someone who really uses makeup, but I have a lot of makeup bags that were given to me with purchase of like, you know, a face soap.
You can put anything in there.
True.
Some,
right?
Some granola bars.
This is what I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's And I love it. And this time of year is like kind of the best time of year to do it.
Yeah.
You too could have so many tote bags and makeup bags that you don't really need but are free.
Yeah.
If you spend
$150.
$150.
You want to know what our friends at home are talking about?
Yes.
Arlo says, feeling nervous before a date. In this case, it's a first date, so extra nerves. I'm out of practice and coping with a lot of other genuine anxiety, but the simple, exciting nervousness feels so sweet and wholesome. It's like being 15 again, except we get to go to a bar and drink fancy drinks.
Yeah. What do you consider our first date?
I took you to Chez Z once.
Oh, well, we had been together for a while then.
Yeah, but that was like our first going out because you made a big deal out of the fact that you
I'd never been
on
a date.
Which is wild.
I just never been taken out in a like, I'm going to treat you to an exciting evening that you know nothing about.
Like, Chez Z was not the fanciest.
No, no, not at all.
Spot and awesome, but it's not the fanciest. And I remember I had to stop for gas on the way there. I got gas on my jeans.
Uh-huh.
And so I smelled a lot like gasoline.
Yeah.
So like all that.
Now whenever I smell gasoline, it takes me right back.
Sarah says, my small wonder is a microwavable heat pack that I put under the covers on chilly nights. Keeps my feet toasty, and I get to feel like a colonial woman with a hot brick. Plus, I can sleep sound knowing I won't light my bed on fire.
That's really nice. I keep getting, like, this is a popular gift, those, like, little bags of rice that you, like, put in the microwave, and I never really know what to do with them.
Yeah.
But that sounds like a nice idea.
We had one growing up that was filled with, like, buckwheat or something like that, and you would microwave it for a bit, and I would put it on my neck I felt so good. And the smell of that thing is like washed in my memory.
Yeah.
We should get a stinky rice bag.
I think we have one.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you to Bowen and Augustus for these for a theme song, Money Won't Pay. You can find a link to that in the episode description. And thank you to Maximum Fun for having us on the network. Go to MaximumFun.org. Check out all the great stuff that they have there. You're going to like all the shows that you find there. MaximumFun.org is the website. I don't know why I decided to say that again.
Max M Fun.
Max M Fun. Candle Nights is coming up.
Yes.
Very, very soon. December 16th, 9 p.m. Join us. Go to bit.ly/CandleNights2023. And you can watch along. It's our virtual spectacular. It's got guest stars. It's got bits and skits.
These things, like, if you are somebody who does not listen to multiple McElroy products, you will not be lost during this episode. It is very charming and fun and bite-sized and really gets me in the spirit.
We have a lot of new stuff this year, sort of representing the branching pathways in which our sort of video efforts have gone in 2023, which is fun. So again, bit.ly/candlelights2023. All proceeds go to benefit Harmony House, which is a great organization in our hometown of Huntington, West Virginia. So check it out. Come join us. It'll be a lot of fun. Let's stop because I don't want to talk anymore.
Yeah. What a sad condition for you to have as somebody who talks.
A professional talker.
All the time.
I know. But I'm going to communicate.
And when I say condition, I mean you just have a cold.
Yeah.
This hopefully will not last for much longer.
So I'm going to whistle my sign off like a dolphin might. Nope.
Maximum Fun,
a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows, supported
directly
by you.